Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks for doing this.
Of course. I was just finishing my breakfast.
Oh, what did you have?
Oh, just some vegetarian sausages.
Mmm. Tasty. Yeah. And coffee. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, coffee, too, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, so thank you for putting this on and being the manager of the slides. I just don't trust myself. I just picked up my computer, though, on Friday. No, Thursday.
Oh, your county issued?
Yeah, I just picked up the phone. Set either one of them up yet. Yesterday was fairly busy. I thought, I want my weekend. And then yesterday was pretty busy, and I thought, well, I'm just not going to risk it in the sense of thinking I've got it set up when it's not set up properly. So,
yeah.
Not a good idea to test it on a presentation.
No. Preferably you would have done the testing before.
I have to get a victim to test it out on. So.
Okay, well, let me know if you need a guinea pig.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one more week and I'm on vacation.
Oh, nice. Are you doing anything fun?
I think I'm going to Joshua Tree. So, some friends have a vacation home over there, and they're going for Thanksgiving, and I'm scheduled for public service Thanksgiving week. And we had dinner last week. They made a barbecue outdoor, COVID friendly and all that kind of stuff. And they were talking about it, and they said, you know, you should come visit, or just, you know, you can use it. So they put the bug in my ear. I was supposed to be at a conference, right? And that didn't work out. So I thought, well, do you have Wi-Fi? They have Wi-Fi. So I can still attend the conference and be somewhere different, which would be refreshing.
Thank you, Ms. Redhire. All right, great. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fred Wilson. I'll be the hearings officer for today's public hearing. This is the time set aside for, it's Mr. Villanueva, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I had a couple different variations of
Quintanilla.
Quintanilla Villanueva. So this is the Villanueva home occupation case. The file number is Z0287-20-HO. Before I go through my normal prepared statements, Ms. Gonzalez is going to kind of run through how this will work on the Zoom platform, let everybody know how they'll participate, hopefully answer any questions anybody has so they're not sort of worried about how they'll get to say what they want to say. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Gonzalez for a few minutes.
Thank you. So Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during this coronavirus pandemic, so the public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raised hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPads, you have a raised hand button on the Zoom bar, top or bottom, depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see the participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open, the end of the hearing, and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email your written testimony to Lorraine Gonzalez at lorraine.go@clackamas.us or mail it to the Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address. By email to the staff contact or the application, or by entering in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So today is the opportunity for people to testify, to talk about evidence, and to make legal arguments. I don't make a final decision today. There'll be a later written decision that comes out after the record's been closed. There are a few things I have to talk about before every public hearing, whether there's six people or 600. I need to disclose that I've had any ex parte contacts. That's any discussions about the merits of the case before today, and I haven't. The only thing I know about this case is what I've received from the planning department that's in the planning file and in the staff decision that's being appealed. I also need to disclose whether I'm biased, whether I'm for or against the application for any reason other than the merits of the case, and I'm not. I'm not familiar with the parties or the property. I don't have any reason to feel one way or the other. Finally, I need to disclose if I've had any conflicts of interest. I don't. I'm in private practice in Salem. I don't have any clients in Clackamas County, let alone anywhere near the subject property. I don't own property in Clackamas County or have family that owns property in Clackamas County. If you haven't been to one of these hearings before, especially on the Zoom platform, the way this is going to work is we will start with the staff report from Ms. Gonzalez. After that, Mr. Villanueva will get to go since he's the applicant. I realize this is an appeal of the staff decision, but since it's a de novo hearing where we're basically everything can come in, we let him make his case. If you want to just say you agree with the staff decision and wait to see what comes up or maybe respond to the things that Mr. Perrin talked about in his submissions, you can, but you get to go first. After that, if there's anybody who wants to testify in favor of the application, they can testify. And after that, we'll have opponents go. I think we'll have Mr. Perrin go first since he's the appellant. And then anybody else who's in opposition to the application will testify. After that, Ms. Gonzalez will have a chance to respond to anything that comes up. And finally, Mr. Villanueva will have an opportunity for final rebuttal since he has the burden of proof. If you testify, please give us your name and address just so that shows up on the record, even though we know who Mr. Perrin and Mr. Villanueva are, but just so it shows up on the record if there's any appeals. Make sure that you raise any and all issues you have. If you don't raise those issues, you may be precluded from raising them in the future. If there are any further proceedings or appeals of this case, also please direct your testimony to the approval criteria. Those are the only things that I can make my decision based upon. Those are the home occupation approval criteria that are discussed in the staff decision. Even if I think something's a terrible idea, if it meets all the approval criteria, I still have to approve it. On the other hand, if I think it's the best thing I've ever seen, but it doesn't meet all of the approval criteria, I have no choice but to deny it. So any sort of discussions about things that don't involve the approval criteria, they're just not things I can consider. Finally, Mr. Villanueva, there are some proposed conditions of approval. If you think there are any problems with those, think they may be unconstitutional takings or anything like that, make sure you raise those issues. Or under state law, you may be precluded from raising those issues in the future if there are any further proceedings for appeals. And one last thing, when we talk about the approval criteria, I appreciate if everybody stays polite and cordial, doesn't make any personal attacks, attack anybody's character or anything like that. That's just not something I can take into consideration. There's just the evidence and the approval criteria. With that, I think we can turn to Ms. Gonzalez for the staff report.
Thank you.
Can everybody see it?
Is it?
Yes. No, I don't.
It's a little small.
Yeah, a little small.
Um,
Okay.
Whoop. Too big.
I don't know if it's my screen, but I don't see a full screen visual of it. I don't know if anybody does that same.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's what we usually see.
Okay. Okay, let's go with this then.
Okay, sounds good. And I've got my screen too, so I can see it from my eyes. Okay, so today we do have the appeal hearing for case file Z0287-20-HO by Mr. Miguel Villanova. Next slide.
Yes.
Next slide.
I'm sorry, you guys can hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am here.
Okay, thank you. So the purpose of the hearing is to discuss the appeal, and the appeal was based on the approval of a renewal for the land use application. The appellant states that comments that he presented was that the applicant was not addressed that he was unable to comply with the home occupation criteria. I want to make a clarification. I understand where the appellant is coming from. On the application that was submitted in, it was deemed complete. Notification went out. Upon the process of reviewing the application, it was recognized that there was a lot of comments that were saying that they could not comply with the criteria. Staff contacted the applicant, and the applicant recognized the fact that he misread the material, and language, English isn't the first language, so he did struggle with the translation. So he resubmitted a revised application. Staff's decision is based on the revised application, which all parties present at this hearing received a copy during the, before the hearing notification. So the notice went out to 300 parties, 300 feet from the site itself. The applicant states that the people that are further than his property being adjacent to the subject property are not subject to the impact, such as the smells, et cetera, from decomposing landscape materials. He also states that the site plan is in error. There's a number of vehicles on the site that exceed the regulations, parking in the right-of-way, and health impacts to the appellant. Next slide. So staff will go over each of the appellant's claims as we go through the slides. Just to give some context as to where the site is located, it is east of McLaughlin Boulevard and Oakville Road. It is between Southeast Willamette Avenue and Lafayette Road, and it is on Southeast Briggs Road, all within the urban low-density area. Slide?
Yes.
This gives you a visual as to what we see on the property. This is a 2018 slide that was from Context Explorer. It shows the single family residence at the frontage of the house, the detached structure off to the east side of the property. That is a detached garage. Located behind the garage, you can somewhat see the accessory structure. That's a newer structure. I believe it was built somewhere around 2017, 2018. It received building permits to do so. There's another smaller accessory structure that you really can't see from the canopy of trees. We'll show the next slide, and this will have a better visual of it. Okay, so this next slide shows the rear. So it's an aerial view from the rear of the property. So you'll see a front at the lower portion of the property, you'll see where the accessory structure is on the property behind the detached garage. Just at that rear property line, you'll see that brown patch of area. That's actually where the applicant has a large garden. Now he has a raised bed for the garden area, but most of that is just dirt surfaced. Next slide. Again, another view of the site itself, which shows the materials on the property, the structures on the property. And here's a question for Mr. Villanueva that he'll address during his time during the hearing. We see a little more cars on this property. The applicant had stated he has two vans and a truck with a trailer. So we do see that on the property. We also see a sedan there that has the logo of the business. And we see some cars up front in front of the detached garage. And those can be residential vehicles. Doesn't mean that they're associated with the business at all. Next slide. So I just wanted to show the comparison of the 2017 site plan and the 2020 site plan. They're both the same site plan, and this could be where Mr. Perrin, the appellant, had concerns about the correction of the site plan. And again, Mr. Villanueva, at your turn, you'll be able to describe a little more as to what this is. Now, we see that the structure to the south, or the bottom portion of this, where I identified as 364 square feet, that's the 13 by 28 detached accessory structure. That's the newer structure. That is a portion, and I'll have some questions for Mr. Villanueva as well. The detached garage, he claimed in his application that he uses a 12 by 13 foot section, which is 156 square feet. Now we also we'll talk about the equipment that he has that he stores on the property, which will address the questions I have for him. Nevertheless, I just want to point out that the two combined square footages of both of those detached accessory structures, that combines to 520 square feet. If there is usage of both structures, it's just a matter of shaving off 20 square feet from the detached garage, which is the 1,540 square foot detached garage. So that can be easily rectified if that is the issue that he's using his riding motor, lawn mowers, et cetera, that's stored in the larger structure. Next slide, please. So on this one, on October 22nd, which was last Thursday, I went to the site upon permission from Mr. Villanueva to look at the site and see what is happening on it. So these are the vehicles that I saw on the site. The majority clearly seem to be the residential vehicles. Mr. Villanueva will have an opportunity to clarify further. The one in front of the detached garage off to the right side of the screen, that one is clearly a residential vehicle. The one off to the side against the fencing, that likely is too. But again, Mr. Villanueva will clarify for us. Next slide. This one has a combination of the street frontage or the view off to the left side of the of the photo, you'll see what the streetscape looks like. What is the comparable usage along the street frontage? And then the bottom left slide, that shows where the two vehicles that we have photos of that are on the front parked in the right-of-way. Now, I want to make a clarification that residential vehicles can be parked in the right-of-way. We do not discern where they can park. They can be in the right-of-way. It is just the home occupation vehicles that we restrict to parking on site only. The center column of photos at the upper photo, that is showing a vehicle, a sedan with Washington plates. I can only assume, And again, Mr. Villanueva will make the clarification that that is probably one of his employees. The other vehicle, as I mentioned before, that's clearly one of the residential. We do see some bark dust comparable to anybody who is doing some land improvements on their property on bark dust storage, but clarification will need to be made. In the rear of the property, that just shows where the accessory structure is, where the boat is located in front of. And then you see another vehicle that is likely associated with the business with the trailer attached. Next slide. And last slide of the aerials or the visuals here on the site check. We see where the, on the upper left, you'll see where the raised bed that I mentioned earlier, along with the dirt surface that is, I remember back in 2017 and I walked the site with the applicant and he was clarifying that he uses it for garden space. Clarification will be made at later during his opportunity to speak. You see the frontage of the property landscaped, and then you see the vehicle. It's very insignificant in the sense of what vehicles are on the property. But on the upper right side, along with the right side of this screen, you'll see portions of fencing material that is starting underway. So Mr. Villanueva is constructing his fencing along it. You see the rear of the portion is at the upper right slide. That shows area that needs to be fenced yet, but it has a visual to Mr. Perrin's property. Next slide. So submitted application. So I want to show the comparables from the 2017 to the 2020. The applicant is the owner of the property now, whereas before he was renting the property, living at the site, Mr. Villanueva. He still maintains 3 employees, 2 off-site employees, and himself. He uses the accessory structure, as I stated. He wrote in 2020 application a 12 by 13 square foot area, which is 156 square feet. In the 2017, he mentioned about the 25 by 28 square foot structure. That's the garage itself. Hours of operation, 7 a.m. to 8 or 9 p.m. It differs from 2017, where he has longer hours in the evening that exceed 8 to 9 p.m. Equipment used. I'm not quite sure, and again, Mr. Villanueva will expand further about the equipment. 2017, he had a long talking about lawnmowers, riding lawnmowers, weed eaters, edgers, blowers, snow blower, pressure washer, and miscellaneous. The extent of that equipment isn't reflected in the 2020 application. Staff made the assumption that the equipment is still there that he's using. It's just something that he didn't include in here. Elaboration will be made again by Mr. Villanueva. But he addresses that he has his truck with a attached trailer. That's one vehicle. 2 vans, so that makes it 3 vehicles associated with the business. Hazardous materials, small gas containers, no more than 4 gallons. Fertilizer, no more than 10 bags of fertilizer. Vehicle trips per day, Mr. Villanueva stated he has 2, basically 2 one-way trips. However, he has 2 vans, 1 truck, and 2 employees. Here's where the clarification needs to be further elaborated. Conditions of approval were integrated in the land use decision, which staff requires the applicant to comply with. But based on the number that he identified, 2 one-way trips, I would say that there is more than that. So with the van and the 2 vans, the truck associated with the business, 2 employees, it would calculate to 10 round trips per day. And that equals to the 20 maximum that is allowed for a major, level 2 major home occupation. Repair, in is conducted on lawnmowers, blade sharpeners, changing tires of the lawnmowers. No vehicle repairs. He was clear about making that statement. He counted, he did not count two employee vehicles as part of the number of vehicles. He identified three associated with the business, and that's the two vans and the truck. The limits on a level two major home occupation is four. What this means is a vehicle has to be eliminated. So it's a matter of having your employees carpool to the site, to and from the site. Where they carpool from, it's up to them, but basically you can have no more than one employee vehicle on the site at a given time because of the number of vehicles, or they stagger schedules in order to be on the site so that no more than four are on the site at a given time. Next slide. So notification, as I mentioned, went out to parties within 300 feet of the subject property. The number of responses staff received were 8, 9 in total. Mr. Perrin was one. He was in opposition of the application. And we received 8 letters of support or comments of support from the various parties notified. And I wanted, again, to show you the difference between the 2017 and the 2020 application. Back in 2017, we received a total of, let's see, I think it was 8, maybe less, oppositions to the home occupation based on the number of bullet items, vehicles, number of employees, noise, odors, vehicle traffic, employee parking, repair of business vehicles on site, change of zone, storage of vehicles, yard debris, storage on site, confirmed not affiliated with the business, and that was anything used for the personal garden space, and barking dogs. Barking dogs, of course, are not associated with this application. It's not part of the business. It wasn't a zone change, so that was clearly not something that fit in the criteria. The highlighted in red, those are repeated comments from the notified or the people that submitted in comments in the 2017 application. The bullets in black are a singular statement of opposition. Now, coming to 2020, and you see the difference, and you'll see that the 8 letters of support are copacetic with the project that was proposed or the home occupation proposed. The Mr. Davis highlighted in red, that is indicating that he was one of the opposing parties back in 2017. So in class, in staff's perspective, the applicant complied with the conditions approval through the process of the home occupation activity. He has full support of the neighborhood minus Mr. Perrin. But any other comments from the parties that previously complained were not present at this review. Next slide. This next slide, I just wanted to highlight about where these comments came from. Off to the left-hand side, I show the 2020 comments, the dots in red that shows the letters of support that in proximity to the site, and I believe one of the comments came from a resident from the subject site, Mr. Cole, I believe it is, that also provided a letter of support. You'll see the opposition is in black, and that would be the one opposition which is a direct neighbor to the north. That would be Mr. Perrin. In 2017, you see where the letters or comments in opposition are located. And they didn't make comments this year, or as I mentioned, Mr. Davis had a comment, but a comment in support. There is one other comment, but it's further south on the map, so it didn't show up on my particular screen. Next slide. So conditions of approval that staff provided basically just went through all the bullet forms. Mr. Villanueva would be the owner and resident of the business, no more than 5 employees, are affiliated with the business. Accessory building square footage is limited to 500 square feet. It can be a combination of the 2 detached accessory structure, or it can be a singular accessory structure. Noise levels not to exceed 60 decibel levels. And I just want to make a clarification. Normal conversation registers about 60 decibel levels. Shouting, as you're working and loading, unloading equipment. If someone's shouting out, hey, get something from the detached accessory structure and it's in the higher volume, be mindful because that registers higher than 60 decibel levels. So it's just something to keep in mind so that you're a good neighbor to residents in the area. No glare, fumes, vibrations, electrical interference. No outdoor storage, so no manure that is specifically for the business to transport it to your customer site. That cannot be stored on site and visible. If, for instance, the bark dust that was stored on the premises in front of your garage, if that was indeed affiliated with the business, then that's not to be done. It has to be within the vehicles, like the truck. It could be in the truck, in the back bed of the truck. We do not, and this was a code enforcement direction, they do not regulate if your debris is loaded on the vehicle and you didn't have time to go to the dispose of it at the Metro Recycle or a debris place. It has to be stored on the vehicle only. And we do not count that as off-site or outdoor storage. Okay, so just keep that in mind. No more than vehicle trips per day. That is 10 round trips. So you're going to have to schedule, if your employees, your 2 employees do not carpool together, then you're going to have to schedule them so that they're on the site at various times so that you don't exceed the 4 vehicles associated with the business on the site at a given time. And I want to make a clarification, Mr. Villanueva, you are the property owner and the resident. I do not count your personal vehicle as that because it's hard to discern what part is domestic use and what part is business use. No repair of vehicles associated with the business are on site. In the 2017 application, I required that you have an inventory of your vehicles, and it's just to help in the clarification if code enforcement was to go to the premises because of a complaint. We have an idea as to, oh, that's the vehicle that's on the list. So it just eases the issue for yourself and for staff so that we can clearly explain what vehicles are associated with the business, which ones are not. And you did provide it in 2017. I think it needs to be updated at this point. And again, you can elaborate during your opportunity to speak. No more than 4 vehicles on the property at a given time. We've already talked about that. No vehicles in excess of 11,000 gross vehicle weight, pounds. A trailer has to be connected to the vehicle at all times or it is counted as a separate vehicle. Okay. And I think we went over that during 2017 and it seems to be, you seem to be in compliance with that one. As I mentioned, no on-site storage of hazardous materials in excess to quantities exempt from the current edition of the Oregon Structural Specialty Code. The 4 gallons, as you cited, that would be within the quantities that are exempt. Anything more than that, we'll have a discussion, but that would be within the quantities. Change of use permit for the building use for the home occupation. We can revisit that, but I believe from the building code perspective that if it's used for the landscape storage of material, it's associated with the same type of storage affiliated with a residential structure. You more than likely will not need that. I do not think you did at the 2017, but I'll follow up with the building codes and inform you further. The add-on for for staff that the hearings officer would like you to consider is the revision of the site plan and floor plan of the accessory building spaces. I don't think it was clear. I do think the appellant was accurate in saying that the site plan may be inaccurate just because of where is the usage of the home occupation. If we can have that clarification, that would suffice that issue. Next slide. And this is the listing of the vehicles that I mentioned that Mr. Villanueva provided in the 2017 review. And as I mentioned, I think it may be need to be updated, and Mr. Villanueva can address yes. that. And last, recommends that the hearings officer uphold the decision for approval with conditions. It seems that it's feasible that the applicant can easily reduce the number of vehicles on the premises at a given time. The history of compliance with the code enforcement, I did provide in Exhibit 3 a statement from the code enforcement office. I just needed the clarification from them as to, have you been working with Mr. Villanueva? What was your experience with that? Has he been forthcoming on compliance with the requirements that your office has made? Because I think there was one complaint between 2017 and current time that was submitted in, and the statement from the code enforcement staff is very clear that Mr. Villanueva has been very compliant with any requests. Likewise with staff, I haven't had issues with Mr. Villanueva's compliance. Comments of support is also validating as to, is this compatible with the community? And it seems to be compatible. The photos that I provided, that seem to be compatible with the neighborhood. Any comments differing from that can be made. Any clarification can be made by Mr. Villanueva. And with that, I'll conclude the presentation.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez. I guess could you maybe walk me through, I read through Exhibit 3 from the code enforcement folks, but it was a little hard to follow. They talked about how things should have been closed and weren't closed. And, cause it seems, you know, pretty clear that these are, you know, it's theoretically possible for Mr. Villanueva to comply with the kitchen's approval. I think what Mr. Perrin's point is yeah, he could, but he hasn't. He hasn't in the past and he's not going to in future. So, you know, he's demonstrated that he can't do it. So we shouldn't approve this. So could you walk me through, which I think that's going to be the issue. Could you walk me through exactly what happened with the code enforcement case or cases?
There was the one, issue. The one was, let's see, June 9th. It's a citing January 5th. I think the January 5th was one that we need to take issue with because the June complaint was related to getting them to comply with the home occupation criteria. It was less than 3 weeks of the county receiving the complaint. This application.
So the June one was that, was Mr. Villanueva operating the business without a home occupation permit?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That was the findings that I'm seeing, that I'm reading there, is less than 3 weeks of the county receiving the complaint. So a staff decision on August 17th of 2017, the application, the one I referred to, D037617, received a tentative approval, tentative meaning that they need to comply with the conditions of approval. The file should have been closed in 2017 after confirming the conditions were met. However, this was missed and the county received a complaint on May 11th. The complaint alleged that the owner of the home occupation no longer lives on the site. Decaying debris is stored in a trailer. And this was one that I'm unfamiliar with. One of the trailer was stored without being hooked to business, et cetera. And then in January 5th of 2019, county received a complaint alleging the following frequency of vehicle trips. That needs to be clarified, and that was, I'll leave Mr. Villanueva to expand on that. And I think on the complaints, it's a process. So it doesn't happen immediately once I receive the letter. So I think that the staff was just citing as to from January 5th to February 22nd, Mr. Perrin came in to confirm if anything has been moved further on the complaint, following up. And that seemed to be, March 15, things were in compliance based on the staff's review. That would be code enforcement staff. Okay. And then on March 4th, they welcomed the staff to come out to the site. And received another complaint on that. On May 20th, 2019, the county received another complaint. Work trailers are being stored unhitched to trucks, large, demolished. And again, Mr. Villanueva needs to expand on this as to the basis for it not being in compliance and how that compliance can be followed through throughout the life of this home occupation. And then the accumulation of fence parts, that's, as you can see, he was under construction with his fencing material. That's not affiliated with home occupation. I think where we need to really explore further and get some validation from Mr. Villanueva, the basis for not having the trailers attached to the vehicles, what was the purpose for that? Why was it unable to be in compliance? And a follow-up on how things will differ from that complaint to today and moving forward on making sure that he is in compliance every step of the way through the life of the home occupation. The complaint on June 16th isn't something that is associated with the home occupation, July 16th of 2019. And that's the extent of it. So I think basically it's the matter of the trailers being attached to the vehicles.
Okay, so all of the code violation investigations were resolved in favor of Mr. Villanueva, is that right?
Yes, it seems that's how I'm reading it.
Okay. Associated with this. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was my main question. Thank you. All right, Mr. Villanueva, this is your opportunity to present your case. And Ms. Gonzalez, please feel free to jump in and ask him questions during this point if that'll help answer the questions that, you know, the issues that you were talking about. So
okay, thank
don't
you.
Don't feel like you're stepping on my toes or anything, so feel free to jump in.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. So, Mr. Villanueva, now's your opportunity. So, again, we know who you are, but just so it shows up on the record, if you give us your name and address, that would be great.
Okay. My first question is this. I think in Mr. Chris, he tried to get me in trouble all the time for neighbors, first of all, because he went for too many neighbors around already to make me go away. Later, I'm going to explain you another situation I had with him when I talked to by the fence last time. First of all, the cars is been in my property in the front. Then the black Honda is one of my son's. He rented to me one of my rooms. The other gray car is for her mother because she renting a room for me too. And only one car in the front, the truck, is for one of my workers, okay? And the other worker, he don't have any car. His one Jetta in the front, he need to go because that was my ex-wife car and had to go. The other cars in the back, the two vans with the trailer, are related for the business, of course, and had the trailer landlords, weed eaters, that is always there. Okay. It's nothing like, I take it out and I doing different things. No. The white car is in the front. that's my personal vehicle, with the, my motorcycle, and that's it. My problem here is not that. My problem here is we leave in always by 7 o'clock, 7:30. We come back sometimes 5 o'clock, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, depends, because we going to different areas, Gresham, we going to Beaverton, we going to different places. The problem here is not really, my business. The problem here is, I think, is racist. It's about my culture. That's the problem. Because, I've been doing everything right. I don't storage nothing like a fee, like a, materials like, my neighbors say. I have only in my van 10 bag the fertilizer because we have only 72 houses take care for regular maintenance. And I read something too in the complaints about, he say we doing a lot of noises with the chains up. That made me feel bad because I had videos where he is in the back doing noises, really late time. And I take pictures, I take videos because he is storage in the corner in his own property. A lot of wood, okay? I don't use chainsaw. I use only chainsaw when one of my trees get killed for somebody. I don't know who killed my tree. He died. He get it dry. And that's when I then using the chainsaw, big chainsaw, to make it in pieces. When I was building my back fence, I get complaints too because I put it my all the stuff in the ground, and I put it in the trailer after that. I get complaints for everywhere. I think in really, really this problem is no belong to my business because I don't have any privacy. In the other day, somebody came to buy one motorcycle, and he was taking pictures for me. That was 8 o'clock at night time. That's nothing related with my business because my business, believe me, I have the customers, I have approval, the addresses, and I can give you good reference about how I am, how respectful I am. And I never complain for what he's done in his property, making noises, welding, big noises I have in videos, in audios too. When he had a party with his friends, drinking, I don't complain for that. I really want to go through to this case because this made me more problems. I talked to him one day, please leave me alone. I had problem for my heart condition. Now I had a pulmonary disease. Doctor give me maybe, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years. If I get better, can be longer. And he is still complain. When it's not from his own, it's from the neighbor. Only he make it do that, okay? And I really go appreciate if you guys want to come anytime are welcome to enter to my property, verify what I have in the garage, what I have in the building for the back, only tools for my business. And the little bar desk is in the front. That's for my front area. I put it there because I go after four. I'm going to put my bark in my beds. That's it. Only if you guys can help me really to take care about my protection too, because I can have stress anytime. He been doing a lot of problems for me and I can't handle it anymore. Okay. If he can told you what he say last time when I talked to him by defense, he be honest. And I honest, that's the only thing I can say. You guys are welcome anytime to my property, 9 in the day, whatever. And you guys never go find out nothing wrong from my own. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Gonzalez, do you have any questions you want to ask Mr. Villanueva to help establish stuff in your mind?
Yes, there's a couple questions. First of all, how many employee vehicles on the site at a given time, Mr. Villanueva?
Only one. The brown one is the truck pickup. That's the truck for my worker. He's with me for 17 years in different place, Jose.
Okay. And then the Washington plate sedan?
That sedan is for my son, my stepson. I raised him. That's one of his car.
And then is there a purpose for the truck being parked in the right-of-way as opposed to on the property? Because there's a plenty of space on the property for it to be parked.
When I've been put it before in the size where is my my fence next to the neighbor, he was taking pictures for my worker, too many pictures, and my worker feel intimidated by him. That's why he start parking in the front, because he don't want any problems. If you told me he can do it next to him, I will do that right away.
Okay, because it cannot be parked in the right of way.
Okay,
so
I will fix it.
That cannot be done anymore. Also, on the clarification for the accessory structures, given that you have lawnmowers and the riding lawnmower as well as the push lawnmower, I guess, that equipment is a little larger than a 12 by 13 square foot area. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So do you use the smaller accessory structure that's on the south property line, the newer structure?
That lawnmower, when I been used my lawnmower and get broke, we store it there. We buy new lawnmowers. And the year, we get the lawnmowers out. We take it to the shop to fix it, or we bring to the dump it to destroy it.
Okay. For the detached garage, you stated you have a 12 by 13 square foot area.
Yes, go ahead.
How do you use that? I just want
to... you are welcome, I say again, to enter. I have inside like drills. I have inside like tools. I have inside equipment, little small equipment for my own too. When I use here in the house to drill a hole or doing things like that, I have a pressure washer. I have a couple little small things. That's what I had. I don't have nothing from the landscape, really, like a storage, fertilizer storage, chemicals storage like that. Nothing. All is in the bed.
Okay, so on the newer structure, the detached accessory structure, how much of that area do you use for your business?
For my business, maybe the size for the pressure washer, because I do pressure washer tools, is 12 by 13, the size, 12 by 12, that's what I think.
And that fits the riding lawnmower?
It's not riding lawnmower inside. You can go check it out. It's nothing. That's why I get confused.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. so now would be the opportunity. We have a couple people who are attendees. We have a Mr. Diffenbach and then somebody on the phone. If either of you are here to testify in favor of the application, this would be your opportunity to raise your hand and testify. Okay, I don't see either one. Oh, nope, I don't see either one of them raising their hand. So now we'll turn to people who are opposed to the application, and we'll start with Mr. Perrin.
My name is Chris Perrin. My address is 13515 Southeast Briggs, zip code 97222. I'd first like to comment on whether or not this is a racist reason for doing this. And soy Latino. I am Spanish. My mother is from South America. So I would be being racist to my own blood. So I resent that. But sometimes what you see in your face is not always what you really are. So.
And I'm not. I wasn't going to now. I definitely am not taking that and thinking that that's the case. So
for the record, there's quite a bit here. I have a question Ms. Gonzalez, the revised application that was submitted due to the indications from Mr. Quintanilla that he was not going to comply with the sections that he needed to. How did that response come about? How did the county handle the notifying Mr. Quintanilla that he needed to revise his statements?
It was a question. So a question being that receiving that, so notification went out, and then what we do for notification, did you fill out the application? Did you site plan? Do we have the materials in order to review it? Then notification goes out. So after that, after the notification period, staff can render a decision. So upon reviewing the application, looking at all the responses, I'm thinking, this is contrary to what the applicant had addressed in the 2017 application. So it was a question posed to the applicant. Is this exactly what you wanted to state? Because I'm seeing a lot of no's. Is that your response? And he affirmed that, no, my language, second language, I spent a lot of time translating this, and I incorrectly answered it. So staff allowed him an opportunity to revise the application and submit it back. So it was basically just a question posed.
Okay. So currently the application now reflects that those are his current sworn statements. So that application is a legal document, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. We'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
The argument that I made about the 300-foot radius is not that the people whom – not that it needs to be the surrounding immediate properties. It's that the county submitted these for comment to people outside of that 300-foot radius. And I have that at least three of the comments in support are well beyond the 300-foot radius, and I believe that they should not be taken into account. And the other part that I, regarding that, is that some of those people who were for him in support are also his clients, and I believe that is a unfair conflict of interest to take into account. Let's see here. I do have some serious bullet points to get to, but in terms of your statement, Ms. Gonzalez, your opening statement, your staff report, I'd like to kind of go in line as I've been doing, if that's all right.
Sure.
The slide 6 that you showed, It shows the camper that was in one of the complaints that was made on the property.
Uh-huh.
And so I'd like to make reference that for future comment, that camper had been there for quite some time. I'll go ahead and talk about that real quick. The complaint that was made that Mr. Quintanilla responded to the code enforcement department that he was only in there for a few days due to his girlfriend, is actually very, very much different than the way I see the facts. There was someone, his employee specifically, and I've confirmed that with one of his prior employees, was living there for well over 4 months. The trailer was there, for some time before that was unoccupied. And what brought me to pay more attention to what was going on there was, an extension cord going into the trailer. I learned that was in there to dry the, a leak that was in that trailer, but, for no less than 4 months, and I don't have the exact time frame, I would watch somebody go in there at night, come out, go in, go out. They were staying in there, and it was not Mr. Quintanilla. It was a different individual, much thinner. In continuing with your staff report going down the line, the vehicles without logos, there are some of those that are also with the business. I would argue that federal and Oregon tax law allow business to deduct the use of their personal vehicle for business purposes. And Mr. Quintanilla has done that. I've actually been in his vehicle before on at times to do that and get bids for work. So while I understand, Ms. Gonzalez, that yes, that is also his personal vehicle, it also makes sense that it be counted as a business vehicle when he is going to do site visits and bids for work from people. I would also like to state, as you were going down your staff report, that there is a large moving van that is kept on that property, and he utilizes that moving van for the storage of additional equipment. I've seen him remove tools from that storage van. And so I believe that should also be taken into account for storage purposes or the area of which, even though the county does not see that as a business-related vehicle. However, I would actually argue that it is a business-related vehicle if he is storing work equipment in that moving van. On slide nine shows employee vehicles. Slide 11 shows employee vehicles. And the minimum number of employees, he may not have this many employees right now as of this moment, but as of last week, there is one driver and one helper per van. So that is a minimum of four employees as of last week. And this is a slow time of the year. During the summer, there are no less than 6 to 7 employees. He also has his ex-wife.
Never.
Excuse me. Let's let Mr. Perrin testify now, Mr. Villanueva.
He does work in the neighborhood. He does it in Beaverton. As I'm driving, I've seen them in Beaverton. I've seen them in Oregon City. I've seen him work all over. And you can see his employees. He has his ex-wife, has worked for him at times, Jennifer. His stepsons have worked for him. And we're talking about during the summer when he has four other employees. So we're starting in the 6-7 employee range. And I've witnessed this. This isn't – I'm not counting people who visit the home and thinking that they're an employee. I've witnessed these things. I'd like to argue as well that the hours of operation are well outside of what the has been proposed in the past. I guess Ms. Gonzalez, if you could help me understand how the normal hours of operation that he's not allowed to make noise is smaller than his working hours of operation, because in order to start his business, he has to make noise. During business, his business hours, he's making noise coming to and from and emptying out his refuse into the trailer and getting other tools and switching other tools out. And then making those same noises past that, I believe it's 6 o'clock is what the county says he's not allowed to make noises past. So if he's getting there at 7 o'clock, how is he not making those noises? And I would say in the past, during the summer when he's busy, he comes in sometimes, and it's rare at times, but at 10 o'clock at night, when daylight stays out till 9:45, it happens.
And so if when he comes back after 6 o'clock, what kind of things is he doing on the property when he comes back?
There's quite a bit of direction that's being given from him to his employees about what they need to be doing, where they need to put things. My understanding, the way I get the feeling, is preparation for the next day.
This is noisy.
Yeah, it's well beyond 60 decibels. I have Miss Gonzalez had told me during 2017 to put an app on my phone for the decibel A scale. And so I did that, and she's right. It doesn't take much to get up to above 60 decibels A-weighted scale. In the middle of my property, when he comes on site and is opening and shutting van doors and moving equipment, it's significantly louder than that. It gets up to 100. That's really all I feel I need to say about that. But I'm confused as to how we can have that, his hours of operation outside of what the county allows for those, for his window of noise. Am I missing something?
Ms. Gonzalez, did you want to, I'll let you respond.
Well,
we'll get you, Mr. Villanueva.
Yeah. Does Mr. Perrin want to continue on with this list and then I can go down? I'm kind of writing out bullet things, but how would you like me to, do you want a response right now?
I'm curious about the hours of operation thing. So why don't you go ahead and respond to that if it's okay.
So in the code, it identifies that the hours of operation, we don't have a time factor other than stating that between the hours of 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., it can exceed 60 decibel levels or the ambient noise, whichever is the lesser. Beyond those hours, it doesn't exceed the ambient noise levels. So it depends on what is the register for the ambient noise levels, and I think that takes into account if you're on a busy street, the noise can be higher. If you're in a quiet neighborhood, the ambient noise is going to be lower, so that's why they take that into account. I think point taken on our conversation level, it is about 60 decibel levels. When you are shouting out directions to your staff, you do need to be mindful that you can't be doing that. You need to keep it down. I think it could be just a awareness as to what those decibel levels are, what triggers beyond the allowed decibel levels. And noise levels associated with metal to metal when you're opening gates and closing gates, yes, that could be loud. A number of things can be registered loud, but it's a matter of being mindful of it, I do think, in the sense of being able not to be shouting out those commands, being able to not load and unload things outside of the hours allowed, and that help rectify the issue. And ideally it would, but it'll be something for Mr. Villanueva to also address. But I hear what Mr. Perrin's saying. So does that clarify?
Okay, yeah. So you can still be operating the business after 6 o'clock. You can't be making more than the ambient noise level when you're doing it.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Back to you, Mr. Perrin.
So I would argue that it's not feasible to be mindful 7 days a week, every day of the year. And the business does operate every day of the week. And so that is another issue I have is, can we, it's every day.
Mr. Villanueva, you get a chance during rebuttal to answer all these questions.
Yes, you give me a chance to talk.
Yeah, but after everyone else testified, you sort of get to have the last word. So then you can respond to all that then. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
I would also like to discuss the number of tools that contain gas, and that in his application, he said that he has 10 gas containers with a no more than a total of 4 gallons. I'd like to state that's in his application. I'd like to state that that seems very unfeasible to have no more than a quarter tank of gas per gas tank in those 10 gallons, or I'm sorry, in those 10 containers to contain that 4 gallons, and that we would also have to take into consideration the gas that is in the tanks. So it seems very unlikely, having run a business before, that there is no more than, no more than 4 gallons of gasoline on that property. The 20 maximum trips, I believe in the prior application, it was limited to 10 round trips, and I'm curious as to how we got, I believe, if we wouldn't mind, if you would pull it up, that would be great. But I'm curious as to how we went from 10 round trips to 20 round, sorry. 20 total trips versus 10 total trips. I believe originally it was total of 10 total trips in the original application. We can make that bullet point in a minute. Again, the number of support letters that Miss Gonzalez raised, that there are less, there are more this time than last time. In speaking with the neighbors, there's a general frustration with the county, that with as many opposition letters as we did have and the approval, it was working uphill. And so there was a lot of, well, what does it matter? And I understand that that is something that the county wants to take into account. However, it's typical for government to get that kind of perception. It's not a fair one, but it is also indicative of how the surrounding, some of the surrounding neighbors feel. The next comment, I think we're basically down towards the end of her staff report was code enforcement. Let's look at that. And that'll probably clear out one of my 3 bullet points that I'd like to discuss. In the code enforcement on June 9th, for the, let's see here, memorandum, I'm just looking, I have printed out 3 sheets. This one says violation file V 0035217. It says on May 11th, on May 11th, 2018, complaint alleged that the owner of the home occupation no lives on site. And that was because he wasn't living on site. He had several other employees that were living there, and I would take it that there wasn't any room. There wasn't any room for him. So he was, one of my neighbors had told me that they had seen him and that he had an apartment that was off of River Road. And so that is where the, assertion that he was not living at the home anymore. He would come home at night from work. He would leave in his personal vehicle. And then the next morning at 7 o'clock, he would arrive. So he was gone from there. And that
we'll let you talk about that, Mr. Villanueva, during rebuttal, okay?
That happened over the course of 6 months. So that was where that assertion came from. In continuing with that that violation number, it said that that the lack of the hitch trailer was for one day. I have plenty of photos here, and I'm hoping that I'm able to share my screen with the people here, so that I can show some of those pictures for the violations that we've discussed.
So you're not arguing that Mr. Villanueva doesn't live there now, are you?
No,
sir. I know
that
was in 2017, but.
That's correct. My assertion is that it was a violation at that time, and that it was not just one day that he was on vacation, that it took place over the course of many months. And that should have been a violation against the terms of conditions that he was supposed to meet for this. And that is what I'm making a point about.
Okay.
For V0002119, there was a complaint, about the frequency of trips, and that a chainsaw was used at 9 a.m. I have video of that. So I'm happy to share that. And that tree I saw brought in, that tree was brought in, on his trailer. It was not off the property. And so, I'm very aware of what practices my neighbors partake in, and it's unfair that it's unfair to make those assertions that would be his tree, because it's happened on multiple occasions. I think I made a comment about the violation about the, on March 4th, 2019, when he says that he had spent a few nights in the camper with his girlfriend. He ended up sending, when that violation went to him, he ended up sending, or putting up for sale that camper. And I was told that he ended up selling that camper to the employee that was sleeping in it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it holds, it stays in line with what I had seen. On May 20th, 2019, the county received another complaint, work trailers being stored unhitched, large demolished fence sections that are stored on site, grass clippings stored, so on and so forth. He said that those fence sections were for him building his fence. And I can, attest that those were old, and I have the pictures of it, old fence sections that were, he brought from an, I'm guessing one of his someplace else. And, it was stored on site and eventually it was hauled off. It was not for use for making his fence. So it was trash stored on site. I guess I guess these complaints that that come to Mr. Quintanilla, he has the opportunity to clean them up before any kind of site visit. The county provides him time, ample time to clean. So it's incumbent upon the surrounding neighbors to ask the county to let him know that he's not in violation. And then the county comes back and says, well, we went there. We let him know we were coming. We went there and we didn't see anything. So he's fine. Well, each one of these complaints is because they were witness testimony that, he was not in compliance. And so it's not being taken into account that again, these were violations in terms of his approved conditions. So that takes me through Mrs. Gonzalez's staff report. So I feel that the first bullet point, that the application and approval process needs to be reevaluated for accuracy, proper procedure by the county that relates to the 300-foot radius. And statements within the application and past application. For Mr. Quintanilla's business, does frequently not comply with many of the ordinances. I've gone through many of those. And, again, I have some photos of those that I'd like to share. The plot plan is incorrect. I know it looks backwards right now, but the amount that he actually uses is far exceeded, and I can show you pictures of that. There is an area down here in the bottom corner of the property that he is using for storage of his tools, wheelbarrows and such related to go ahead.
You have the ability to share your screen if that makes it easier for you.
That would be great.
Yeah, on the bottom.
Down on the bottom, it says share screen. Or it might be on the top, depending on how you have it set up. But there's a toolbar. There you go.
Okay, perfect. So I guess we can go through these. So here, is it okay if we jump around? Is that too?
No, if you'll just sort of explain which ones you're talking about, that'd be fine.
Sure. This is the corner of Willamette and Briggs. And this is, that's before that intersection. We're at 304 feet from the edge of, of his property, giving him some tolerance, I guess. Here I'm just past the corner of Briggs and Loffelman, and we're at 301 feet. So several people were also permitted to provide their comments and support past that point. Mr. Davis, I believe, was one of them, and several others beyond him.
Well, just on that issue of notice, the county has requirements about who they have to give notice to. That's the 300 feet. But that doesn't mean that people beyond that can't testify. Anybody, you could be on the other side of the county and come in and testify if you wanted to. So, I mean, that might come into play as to how persuasive the testimony might be. And I understand your point that if they're clients, they're much more likely to be supportive, and that should be taken into account. But the mere fact that they're more than 300 feet away, that doesn't have any effect.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll stop making points about that then. Here we can see that area of the property that I was discussing. We've got a lawnmower back here. There's quite a bit of stuff that's covered up, so it's hard to make sense of what that is. Many of those things are lawnmowers. Stuff related to the business. The wheelbarrows, you can see wheelbarrows, some more lawnmowers.
When were these photos taken?
Last week.
Okay, because I didn't see that area at all.
Yep, it's because you didn't go to that part of the property, I'm guessing. This is behind that small little property that's on the south side. Small little building on the south side. Here it's hard to make sense. Actually, I took this, if you look at this photo, it actually looks like the trailer's hitched, but the reason for taking the photo is because it's unhitched. It's just backed up in line. But hard to take photos at times with this. This was recently. I can tell you the date. If any of that's of interest, I guess we could go back and do it at that time. As you can see here, this is also storage, using this vehicle for storage of debris, and again, doing things that are outside of the landscaping. This is not his grill. He has grills and other stuff that he accumulates and then, I'm guessing throws out for people. That's also not just based in speculation, but conversations that I've had with Mr. Quintanilla prior to this whole, process taking place. There's another day with some more stuff. Here's a picture of the truck. It is not hitched to the trailer. The trailer is off to the west. Here's his employee's truck parked in the right of way. Here's another day. Here's the storage van, the box van that holds some of his tools and such, and he'll move this around so that he can offload them with this large hydraulic gate. And again, you can see the trailer that's not hitched. And then another one of his trucks there, which is different than the trucks and the pictures that you'd shown in your previous photos, Ms. Gonzalez. Here we have the fence sections that we were discussing. This is the used stuff. You can see the bricks that are being dumped here. This is all used stuff that was a part of that complaint. None of this old used stuff was used in the making of any of his fences. As you can see in your photos, Ms. Gonzalez, that the fence that he has put up is all new boards.
So this is from 2019, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And here you can see some more of those boards. Get a clear indication. You can see that they're just pieces of wood. Some are painted, some aren't. They're deteriorated in the corner. Nothing that has been used. And you can also see here, storing another trailer with used tires and such. Here's another one of those trailers on a different date with him. This is Jose who parked here. Jose is a very friendly guy. That was a comment that was made that I intimidated him. I talk with him frequently. He's a good person. And here's that same trailer that is unhitched. Actually, I do want to make the point here as well. That trailer, Jose actually, his other employees will use their personal vehicles at times. I'm not exactly sure why, but they will utilize their vehicle for taking equipment and trailers. And I believe that that adds to the total number of vehicles that are being used. This was a video of the one complaint where he had brought in a tree from another property. I don't know if you're able to hear that, but that chainsaw, that went on for hours. That happens on occasion, and I'd like to be clear about that. He doesn't have that many trees on his property. This is some more, as this was coming into place, some more lawnmowers and other equipment and such. This is there for more than just a day. This doesn't just land there and then it gets cleaned up. As you can see, I mean, it's quite a bit of material there.
So what's in the foreground on that past photo, please? So is this your property that's on the front?
This right here?
Uh-huh.
This is my wood pile.
Okay, got it.
Here's another picture of another day that the trailer is being stored there without anything hooked up to it. And it's more than just a moment, mind you. I believe Mr. Quintanilla made a comment that the truck stays on the property and it doesn't do anything. And I think I've shown that that's not the case. A different day. So for the most part, those are all the new pictures. I could show those other pictures given that this case is de novo. But I don't see any merit in it. The county's already approved and allowed for this process to take place. But I would argue that all of these new photos since then are indicative of the violations that he continues to do. So I've made a point that the plot plan is incorrect, that the floor plan is inaccurate, that the number of employees exceeds his allowable during times of the year. I'm not going to say that it's all the time, every time, but during the busy times of the year, late spring, early summer, it's definitely more than five employees. During those times, the parking in the right-of-way, it's filled with three vehicles. The last thing I believe the last thing I haven't covered is the effect of the debris on the property. Bringing the debris on the property, the trailers that he has just store equipment. He keeps one to two trailers, depending upon the time of the year, but one full time, and leaves that there and comes back and forth to offload debris into it. And this is also part of the creation for the number of trips. It's not simply that he leaves, goes to a client's property to do work, and continues to jump from property to property to come back at the end of the day. He's continually, and his other vans and other employees are coming back with loaded vehicles to offload into this trailer. This trailer that stores this debris, sometimes of the year, it's not that big of a deal. It's just storing stuff. Other times, when depending upon the type of debris, it'll start to decay very quickly. I have now have to currently watch for those things or keep my windows closed in order to prevent those odors or the mold spores from coming in, and taking a daily antihistamine to deal with that. Those also cause me to have more frequent sinus infections. So it's something that I just have to learn to deal with. However, I feel as though in buying the property when I initially did and not having any businesses around me, that this was not an issue. But the county continues to allow the storage of debris on the property. And I feel that is it is not weighted heavily enough. The surrounding properties from the people who are beyond the 300 feet, as Mr. Wilson noted, who are welcome to make comments for, unfortunately, do not have to deal with that. And that is very cumbersome for me living on my property. Mr. Quintanilla has made comment that he currently has a heart issue, and I feel for him for that. We all have some issues to deal with, whether they be health related or not. But I would argue that prior to this appeal that is going forth, Mr. Quintanilla made comment to Ms. Gonzalez and to others when we had our we had a meeting with the county, an arbitration meeting, I believe is what it's called. And at that particular time, Mr. Quintanilla had cancer. And I don't know if that cancer has gone away, but I would argue that, that the effects of the business that cause health related issues be weighed more heavily than the, health issues that we bring to the business. And I guess I would argue also that I don't regularly take pictures of Mr. Quintanilla and his regular dealings. I did not take any pictures of him at 8 p.m. or anyone for purchasing a motorcycle. I'm not exactly sure what it is that he saw, but I was getting ready for bed more than likely about that time. And I would also find it a bit disturbing that Mr. Quintanilla is recording audio of me and my dealings, when I have, friends or whomever on the property, for the purposes of specifically recording us. I do believe that that is against Oregon law. I need to be at least aware of it, for it to take place. If that's not the case, maybe Mr. Wilson can chime in about that.
That's sort of outside the scope of this case. That would be a totally different matter. So.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Good to know. The last thing I would say is that, yes, I do make noises on my property. All of the neighbors make noises on their property. Those noises that homeowners make on their property is in line with owning a property. It is not for the purposes of business. And that is the clear distinction that I would like to make for Mr. Quintanilla, is that I'm not making money off of what it is that I'm doing, and I do not have to have a permit for those things. And so it is also outside of the realm of what this meeting is about. I believe I've covered most of it, and if I forgot something, maybe I'll have the opportunity to bring it up at that time.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mr. Perrin. That was an excellent presentation. We have, this would be the opportunity for anybody else who is opposed to the application to testify. We've got, look like one gentleman who's not there, but we have two people on the phone. So if either of the people on the phone want to testify, now is the time to raise your hand and let us know. It does not appear that they're raising their hands. If you're having trouble doing that and you eventually do, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll try to get to you.
There's one person that says that they're currently muted and not able to say anything.
Who would that be? Is that one of the phone call people?
Yes,
are
yes,
you
sir.
Seeing that?
I'm getting muted walls. Miss Walls okay. is on the line.
She needs to push *9 in order to raise her hand so I can see her and let her in.
She's on the phone. I'm guessing she's
got it.
Oh, there she is. Okay. All right. Sounds like you're just sort of talking to her outside of this process, Mr. Perrin, huh? So I think we're going to get her on. Oh, I think we're unmuted. So ma'am, apparently, if you would give us your name and address before you start testifying, that would be helpful.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Anna Walls, W-A-L-L-S. I live at 13510 Southeast Briggs, which is right across the street from Chris, Mr. Palin. Anyway, I've witnessed the same thing as Chris has mentioned. He's got employees that park out on the edge of the road. There's usually 2 to 3 cars out there. His business vehicles are not hitched usually to the trailers. They move them around so they have room to work. He does bring in materials from his customers, whether it's trees, grass, whatever. But it is coming back to the property. I think there needs to be some more surprise visits instead of notification given to him, because obviously it's not working and you guys just keep giving these permits to him. We're not getting anywhere. We're the ones paying taxes. Now he owns that house. He used to just rent it. And apparently the owner at that time wanted to resolve and not be harassed by us or the county over this permit issue, so they've sold it now. So I'm not happy with him bringing all the material into the property, and I'm not right next door like Chris is, so of course the smell is not as bad for me, but it's still happening. And him saying he's meeting all these requirements, they're not being met.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Walls. Was that everything you wanted to add?
Yeah. I was muted, and there was nothing I could get in to say, and there were no instructions to hit *9, so okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We talked about that at the very beginning here, but you might not have been here for that part. So that's why we try to make sure we get everybody a chance to do it. So I'm glad we got an opportunity to have you testify. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so we do have one other person on the phone. I don't know if you're in contact with them too, Mr. Perrin, but if they want to, it was a *9, is that right, Ms. Reinhard? If they wanted, so who the other person that ends in, nope, there we go, okay. All right, if you could just give us your name and address, that would be helpful.
Greg Deffenbaugh, 3238 Southeast Loffman Road, Milwaukee, Oregon, 97222.
And how do you spell your last name, sir?
Deffenbaugh, D as in Delta, E-F-F as in Foxtrot, I-N, B as in Bravo, A-U-G-H.
Okay, thank you.
And really my only two issues are the smell from the rotting compost. He's put up a wonderful fence, so I can't see anything that's going on the other side. It does get a little noisy in the morning and sometimes, but that's mainly the composting smell. But, you know, other than that, I don't have much complaints.
And so do you live right, like, your backyards abut each other?
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry for the noise. I'm working.
It's all right. And so the smells that you hear, is that coming from, that's coming from stuff that he's bringing back to the property, not like some sort of personal use thing like a garden or anything like that?
If it's a garden, it's a pretty healthy garden with lots of compost on it.
Okay. All right. Well then thank you, Mr. Diffenbach. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
How do I mute this again?
I think Ms. Redmark can do that for you. There we go. Great. And that looks like everybody who is here has had a chance to testify. So with that, we will turn it back to Ms. Gonzalez for any staff comments.
Okay. Sounds good. So the 300 feet, Mr. Wilson already addressed. We do notify CPO, so the community planning within the community, and you sometimes get responses to that. The map that I had shown identifying where we received those comments, there are primarily residents along Southeast Briggs Road. So they have some context as to what is happening on their particular road. So it's fair to get their input on that. Mrs. Walls provided input. I'm noticing my screen that I had identified 2017 comments, and she was one of the opponents at that particular time. So I didn't receive a comment from her this time. So she's made her statement that she is concerned regarding the storage and also the vehicle trips, from what I understand. The camper, the residents and the camper, that is a separate issue as well. It's not something that I review under the home occupation criteria. That would be another violation if it was a longevity of over a few days, then the code enforcement addresses it, which you, seems like you've already employed them to do so. So that's a separate issue. So it's not reviewed under this. As employees on the site, so the criteria is situated where it says no more than 5 employees on the property at a given time. So he could have more than 5 employees, but the key is not on the premises at a given time. So no more than 5. So if you had 7 employees or 6 employees, as you mentioned, then those employees can be on site, but it's also regulated by how many vehicles can be on site at a given time as well. So 4 vehicles associated with the business, whether they be the employee's vehicle or they be one of the 2, the vans or the truck. And the truck, as we've already mentioned, needs to be hitched up to the trailer, or if it's not hooked up, if the trailer is not hooked up to the vehicle, then it's counted as a vehicle, a separate vehicle. So say, for instance, the scenario of it's not hooked up, he doesn't need the trailer for that given day, and he detaches it from the vehicle, it can be on the premises as long as there's no more than 4 vehicles, okay, on the property. So it's a little nuance there that needs to be ensured that it's in compliance. But once those numbers of vehicles get on the site, no more than 4. Okay? Just want to be clear on that one. I think that goes back to your large moving vehicles as well. The big van, and I know which one you're talking about, the big cargo type of van.
Box trucks.
Yes, that in 2017 we visited that same scenario as the purpose of that, and it was identified that it wasn't associated with the business. There wasn't a purpose for staff to say, yes, it is associated with the business. That I understood was some transport of items that are not business related to and from Mexico at given times. So that was staff interpretation for this go around as well, knowing the history as to how that was employed in the past. Hours of operation, I think we cleared that. Hopefully it's clear. Volumes of noise, you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful or it doesn't work. So we need affirmation from Mr. Villanueva that that is something that can be done. We also need the validation from Mr. Villanueva about the trailer and vehicle scenario. Are they hooked up? Can you do it? If you can't do it, it's not going to be a good fit. Okay. Gas storage on site. So I must have miscalculated because I thought, let's see, no more than 10. So four gallons per clarification. Where is those gallons of gasoline stored? Are they in the vehicles? Are they not in the vehicles? That type of information needs to be clarified. And Mr. Villanueva can address that as well. The 20 maximum trips and just eliminate it. So that was actually addressed in the previous application, the Z0376-17, under condition number 11. The home occupant shall not function to exceed more than 20 vehicle trips per day, parentheses 10 round trips, on the subject type as a result of the home occupation. And then I had the description of how we define a trip. That was part of that land use application. That doesn't differ than was applied condition in this application. So they are the same, but I can see where the confusion can be. The 10 and the 20, you know, what's a round trip? What's a singular trip? Tree on site. That's a hard one in the sense of clarification for Mr. Villanueva. What was a tree? Being cut up for. Was it cut up for a fireplace, use of the fireplace? If there was an exchange funding, and Mr. Wilson will address it further because we've had a similar situation with a construction site about the individual taking bricks onto a site that he had intentions of using for personal use. And that was at that particular time, it was decided that that doesn't count as part of the home occupation. If this tree was cut up for the fireplace purposes or even, you know, it was for personal use, then that's a different scenario. Storage in the trailers, that was a decision that was rendered by the code enforcement about do we account for what you can visually see stored in a trailer. And based on their process through the code violations to the circuit court, it was defined that it doesn't count. So staff was going under that premise, that it's not accounted for, it's in the confines within the trailer. I do see Mr. Perrin's perspective on that. It is still a visual thing, but the decision was already rendered that it doesn't, we do not take that into account. Vehicles. Plot plans, I do agree. We need that clarification on the plot plan, site plan. Number of vehicles already addressed. We need that confirmation from Mr. Villanueva as to why our vehicles parked in the right-of-way. If this is something that cannot be addressed, again, it doesn't fit. So that needs to be clarified. I'm going through this quickly, so I'm hoping that I got everything. Noise levels we already talked about. So I think that is all the bullets that I made that needed to be addressed. Is there anything that hasn't been addressed that you would like further clarification?
No, thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. That was very thorough. I appreciate that. Thank you. So now, Mr. Villanueva, now is your opportunity. I know you're raising your hand a lot, and so this is your chance to respond to all those issues. So this is your opportunity for final rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go from my list. I do a list. I hear in everything what he's complaining. Okay, first of all, the guy he talking in the phone, the name Bob, he's a wonderful guy. First of all, no matter what he's talking bad about me, but no, he's a wonderful guy. When I get here the first time, a special guy. I never had problems with him before Chris coming over and making his friend and start making brain wash or something like that. He called me one time and he asked me about the mulch, the campus, because by that time I was putting my trailer close from his fence in the back. I moved my my trailer to the front a little bit. That way you don't get the smell. We don't carry it anymore, grass. We put it in the debris containers. We carry it only little branches, leaf, things like that, okay, for pruning, trimming. We had regular maintenance for people. He tried to make me look like I do construction. I don't. We had regular maintenance every week. We had areas. We had areas from Milwaukee, from Oregon City, from Gresham, from different places. We can miss it. Before, I get five people, the longer workers I had before, that was five people, because I was working for Fred Meyer before I get the permit and things like that, and I start getting better and better and better. Now I don't. I cannot prove you. One, for the checks I've been paid for my bank for the two workers I had. One, why? Second is about the other house. I hear something about he say the other house, yes. Before, when I buy this house, the owner from this house, he told me I had to buy the property or I had to move. I'm looking for another property for me to move. Or score my credit, pass out, and I can buy this property in that time, so late, and I had to rent in the other property for 1 year by contract, and I can broke it. I had to be there sometimes, with my girlfriend, and I still had a room over here. Like he said, that's true. Only I was here all the time. That means sometimes I go from the other property. Yes. That's true. The other thing what I want to tell you is I've been called the police three times because the noises he made it really, really, really. I had neighbors came back too. That's a special noises are so different than the noises I make when I open the gate for my truck or when I take the lawnmowers down, something like that. It's something special. One day he was in the other side in his property and I see he was turning on the lawnmower by 9 o'clock, something like that.
Mr. Villanueva, even if Mr. Perrin is being super noisy, that doesn't really have anything to do with your home occupation case. As he talked about, he doesn't have a home occupation, so the same rules don't apply to him. And there are rules for making too much noise just as a general, you know, person who lives there. But that's a whole separate process and doesn't have anything to do with this case.
Yeah. Only let me tell you, the noises coming make me look like I doing it. When we finish working from the maintenance, regular maintenance, we come in, we park in the van in the back all the way, and we don't make it any more noises because I'm gonna let you know something. When my workers done for the last house, if it's in Gresham, the time for work is done over there because I pay too much time for travel. And I agree with that, guys. No more. When I done integration, done, bring the car, parking the car, no noises. I have cameras, and I can approve what I'm doing when I done. The second thing is about the trailer separate for the truck. Yes, I separate sometimes because in the other day, I had to bring my truck to put a new clutch. I had approved for the invoices to fix the truck. Because these guys don't let me bring, allow my trailer through there to these places. And I had to leave my trailer here. I don't gonna leave my trailer in the middle in the way. That's true. The other thing I wanna ask you is, trespassing. I think in the 10 years I am here, he trespassing, when he start living in that property, he trespassing all the time to my property, like my friend, like doing things like that. I let he borrow it, roller teller one time. He bring it over, broke. He never replaces. He never offer nothing. He says something about he don't raise me. I wanted you ask him, please. He's honest. I wanted you ask him what he told about me last time when I talked to him, maybe 3 months ago. If he can say the truth, I wanted you ask him, please, because I'm going to say in a minute what he talking about me. If you can ask that question, please. Appreciate that.
I was a part of that, but I don't think any of this has anything to do with your home occupation case. So.
Why? Yes, because the problem is, I think in his race. The problem.
So we're not going to get into that, okay?
He raised me.
That we're looking at the. I talked about this at the beginning. We have approval criteria.
Okay.
There's no approval criteria about racism, and as his parents said, he's. He's of Spanish descent as well, so I don't, you know, I tend to agree with him on that he would be being racist against his own, and it wouldn't be being racist, so.
And I had my last one. The other thing he's talking about my box truck, okay, what I want to do in a minute, because I had a customer, he told me what I had to do for approve for you guys, because he say I take her time. You guys give me a notice for something, I clean it out, everything, and that way I have time to make everything right when you guys come. No. I really want to call for the police to come, to bring it over and checking everything about here, to checking my box truck. My box truck, when I talk to Mrs. Lorraine, is when I get like a supplies for people, American people give me free. And I bring it over to the border, to Mexico, to the poor people. It's nothing related with my business. You are welcome to come right now. Check it out, everything. The other corner, he talking about, I had equipment. That's a landmark. I talking Mrs. Lorraine about all the equipment get broke. I put it there in the gear. We put it in the metal place. When I was building the concrete area, he was taking pictures too. Of course, I had to make the piles and remove everything. That way I can make my, concrete, area. And that's it. I don't have nothing to hide and you are welcome to come anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Villanueva. Ms. Gonzalez.
I don't think he hit on some of the points of the questions that I posed. The ability to not park in the right of way, the ability to only have 4 vehicles as business on the premises at a given time. And the other thing that was brought up that I didn't question was the outdoor storage of those various materials in the back of the property. Can those be stored indoors? Is there a basis for, are they in fact related to the business? So if we can have that clarification, that'll help. On getting a full picture as to what's going on. Mr. Villanueva?
Yes, I had a little fence all over. That way nobody can see. And you are welcome to check it out again if you want anytime. And I'm going to leave open the gate. You're going to see it's nothing related with my business.
Okay. And the vehicles in the right-of-way?
If you want to check it out, it's only one truck, Jose driving, and he put it in the front. It's going to be removed by the size, and it's not another car to parking in the front. If you want to send the code enforcement in 7 o'clock in the morning to check it out, how many workers come to my property, you're going to see. You want to check it out, you are welcome.
So that's a confirmation that you will comply with not parking.
Yes.
In the
yes. Okay. Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Oh, and the no storage of debris that resonates odors.
Correct? Oh, no, I don't have nothing like that. Nothing like that.
So moving forward, that is not going to occur.
Only had one question before you go. We dumped every grass in the containers. Every people in his own houses had his own debris container, right? I asked for the people to leave the grass over there, and people agree with me because I working for a long time and say yes. What I can leave is only branches, little branches, or leaf. I am allowed to put it in my trailer like I always do that.
Okay. Just dispose of it before it becomes an odor, an obvious.
Okay. I will.
All right, Mr. Perrin, I'm gonna let you have one last time. You're muted.
Thank you for that.
Great.
In regards to not bringing grass on site, the pictures I just showed, which are recent, show that those large white containers, those contain the grass. There was last year, I per the arbitration or the, I forget what the county calls it, but they asked, there was an agreement between Mr. Quintanilla and myself that we would try to talk first before any complaints were filed. And so at a time at which there was some, I don't know how to phrase it, but it was horrible, the smells. And I asked him if he could get rid of it. And his response to me was, I will get rid of it when my trailer is full. That is the relationship that we have. Even when approaching things from a civil, let's not go through the county standpoint, that is how it is. That's how it works with me. And I do not feel that Ms. Gonzalez's attempts at coaxing Mr. Quintanilla to say that he won't do it anymore are sufficient in any regard. It's all he has to do is say, I did. That's not what that's for. The five wheelbarrows that are over there, those aren't for my business. Those are for personal use. The seven lawnmowers over there are not for my business. Those are for personal use. All the trees that come in, that's firewood. He does not like fires. He's sealed up his fireplaces. So if he was to say to me today, that's for firewood, I would say, well, that's a complete contradiction from what I know as a expert witness in this particular case. I was very friendly with Mr. Quintanilla before any of this took place. I really am the wrong person to make facts about or accusations of when I know things better than anybody in that neighborhood does, because I take the time to get to know my neighbors. Real quick, the comment was made early on, and this to my point that I just made, that he takes that truck down to Mexico. And that truck has never left that property. It didn't have a working motor, and I have pictures of him working on that motor in the 2017 complaint during the initial permit process. I would ask to show a up-to-date vehicle registration for that, which there probably won't be any, okay? I'm making that assumption because I don't know for a fact, but I could probably go look at the license plate tonight and affirm that. No grass, see the pictures. I would argue that the lease that he had made proves that he was not the principal person living at the house at that particular time, to my point earlier. And the last point I would make is that, for the purposes of keeping it to this record, that shed that was built currently has electricity to it, and there's been no permits brought to that. And he uses that facility to work on his, uses that shed to work on his equipment. I know that there's electricity out there because prior to any of this taking place, I'm an electrician and I know how to search for permits and I know the electrical, inspector out there. There've been no permits pulled. There is electricity there. And, I would ask that the county take that into account for, the purposes when they do another site visit. That's really all I have. I thank you for your guys' time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Perrin. Mr. Villanueva, you get the last word, so you can respond to anything that just came up.
Yes, sir. I use a special long cable from my garage to bring electricity sometimes to my storage where I have the tools because I don't get the permit yet for that place, and I will get it soon. Only you guys can come over any time to check it out. I use a long cable. What is it called? I plug my cable in the garage, and I bring it over to my place. That's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Villanueva. Ms. Gonzalez, has your mind changed about anything after today's hearing?
So it hasn't in the, but I think it needs to be definitely stressed that noncompliance with the conditions of approval throughout the life of the business jeopardizes the ability to renew any applications. If a code enforcement goes forward with after the fact, after a decision's rendered and we agree with the conditions of approval and they move forward, I mean, it jeopardizes the permit being revoked. That's where it stands at this point. So I would say that there is the ability to comply with the conditions of approval. If another code enforcement is pulled on this property because there is no compliance, Mr. Villanueva jeopardizes the life of the business on his property.
Okay.
And I just want to stress that as that's very firm.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and Mr. Perrin, I sympathize with your position because I'm convinced that there have been ongoing violations that haven't been living up to the requirements under the 2017 permit. And the problem is there's sort of a disconnect. So we've got sort of the land use side, which is me, and then there's the code enforcement side, which is somebody who's not me. And all I really look at is it feasible? You know, basically, is it possible to do that? To comply with them, and it should be able to comply with these conditions. And we often get cases where, sorry, my dog's scratching the carpet back there. We often get cases where people have not, and so we have to sort of deal with that. And the bar is just so high to deny an application that's feasible because of prior conditions. And I kind of wish that I would, because this comes up quite a bit. I kind of wish that I was the person to do the code enforcement because then I could be like, oh yeah, I remember that case and there was clearly ongoing violations. So if it was me, I think normally when you get code enforcement, people want to give people a second chance and stuff. It's like, okay, you know, let's get this into compliance. But then if you're the one who's seen it before, it's like, okay, we've had a lot of second chances already. And so, but that's just kind of not how this works. And so, and I know that if you're the person making the complaints about violations, dealing with code enforcement and going through that process and actually getting the result from that is really difficult. And so I feel for you there. Just the problem that I think here, it's the land use side and it's really just whether it's feasible. And so we just sort of go, we like, okay, here you can do this. You need to go do it. And then if they don't, it's sort of up to code enforcement. And I know that puts a big burden on the people who have to suffer through things if there are. And you know, hopefully there won't be violations when things get approved. You know, lots of different cases. Sometimes people, okay, you know, we'll do it and there's no problems. But when there are problems, it does seem to fall heavily on the people who have to complain about them. And so I feel your pain there. So I'm going to have to go back and look at all this. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but I just, that's, that the sort of the split between the land use and the code enforcement. I think we've let everybody talk enough now.
Thank you for that. I understand that. I have spoken with other people in your position outside of what the county deals with, and the purpose of the real purpose of having this appeal is so that there is record of it, and that it can be used in the future. So thank you.
Okay. And again, Mr. Villeneuve, you get the last word. So did you want to respond to that too? You don't have to.
What I want is you guys come really to my property and check it out, everything, because he can say too many things. The truth is what is here. He can get 20,000 pictures. The truth is what I have. Okay. He don't like me. I can fix it that, you know. Only what I can do is follow rules, and you guys are welcome to come anytime. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Villanueva. Thank you. Okay. Well, I think with that, everybody's had their testimony, and then everyone's gotten plenty of testimony today. So there haven't been any requests to keep the record open. So, we're going to close the public hearing. We're going to close the record. I'll have a decision out 3 weeks from today at the latest, probably sooner than that. So thank you, everybody. It was kind of a long hearing. I appreciate everybody hanging in there and being helpful and answering questions. So, with that, everybody have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Darcy.